Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
It's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Should you need anything while we are doing this, you can catch us, I should say, on Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show. Again, lots of crazy stuff going on in the world. You get a kickoff to Tough 20. You get an event in Foxwood as Gegard Mousasi and Jacare go mano a mano. Ben Askren goes a little crazy. Dana White steps back a little bit from some stuff about Thiago Silva, and then steps right in it when he talks about Ray Rice. So we will talk about all those things, and let's start at UFC Fight Night 50. Gegard Mousasi, Jacare Souza. Gegard had nothing for Jacare.
No, not a thing there, and he tried to stalk him a little bit. He tried to pace it the way he wanted to, and Jacare was having none of it, and pretty much beat him up for the better part of those three rounds, and then took it in the third with that sub.
It was a great performance from Jacare, and there were a lot of great performances, I think, on that main card. The two that stand out, obviously, are Ben Rothwell and Jacare, as Jacare just let Gegard do whatever he wanted to do and then picked his shots and then subbed him.
Yeah, there was nothing there from Gegard Mousasi. I mean, we talked about this last week on the show, which guy do we see? He's always been that stalking kind of slowed down guy. Sometimes it seems like he drags other guys into that pacing. And then there's nights like that night where it didn't bother Jacare at all. I mean, he basically did what he wanted to do for those three rounds. And it was a situation where Gegard looked too slow, looked like he didn't have it, looked like he shouldn't be there. Is that true or not? I don't think so. That's just how Gegard fights. And in fights where he wins and he kind of stalks a guy and he pulls him into that sludge that is his fight style, it's great. He wears a guy down and he ends up winning. And remember, too, this is a possible 5-round fight. So I don't disagree with Gegard trying to go for his strength there. But this was one of those Gegard Mousasi fights where when he loses, he looks terrible losing.
Well, and you're going against a Jacare that gets better and better every time he fights in the UFC. He's now unblemished, I believe, in the UFC. As he prepares, what's next for him? Well, that's a good question. He's a smart guy. Guy who can read the tea leaves. So he's going to take a couple months off, or a couple weeks off, I should say. He was on with Ariel Helwani this week. Take a couple weeks off, take a little holiday, and then get right back into camp. Who is he fighting? He thinks he's fighting Chris Weidman, because he thinks that Belfort is going to fall through.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't necessarily disagree. If you want to ever shoot for a date and be a replacement fighter, looking at a Vitor Belfort date's not a terrible thing to do.
No, and again,
especially again, he hasn't been licensed.
He's still working on,
as Chow likes to call him, compliance issues and things like that. We're still waiting. As far as we know, his application's been approved, but we're probably just getting to that point where we're going to see those testing guys, you know, come knock on the door. Hey, Vitor, you got to let us in now because you're licensed to fight. Because he has a license, correct, for the Weidman fight?
He's
set to go.
Yes.
So that means they can start that testing whenever they want. So, you know, Jacare might be able to sneak himself in there, and he's certainly got a great win to do it off of. We weren't sure last week going in. Dana White said going into this fight, obviously these are two of the top guys in the world. I don't want to call it a number one contender match, but we're going to look and see how they fight. You see how that guy fought.
Sure.
You got to say that.
And afterwards, Dana said something similar that, you know, you can say Souza is the next in line for the title, but somebody's already there. So it depends on when this thing happens, what goes down, what happens with Weidman. Tough to say, but getting a title shot when somebody's already in line is not very likely. That said, Jacare's camp is calling it, our plan A is the UFC's plan B.
Well, their plan A is the UFC's plan B, and their plan A, even if the UFC's plan B doesn't happen, is still their plan A. They feel that he's jumped ahead of Vitor Belfort. They've said even if Belfort gets in the cage, his camp has basically said, hey, we believe that Weidman's going to win that fight. So that's still the fight we're looking at. It's just, is it going to happen when Vitor was supposed to fight, or is it going to happen after that? Because I think we have a consensus number one guy, as long as Weidman doesn't want to take too long off after that Belfort fight, don't we? Does Jacare have to do something in there, or can he wait it out?
Well, again, to you know, to lean towards the boss. The boss says he's going to have to wait it out and maybe get another fight in there, even though the rankings show him at number two and he's leapfrogged Belfort. But
nobody's saying Belfort should lose the shot.
No.
His camp just thinks that Belfort is not going to be able to test clean.
He won't be able to test clean, and they'll need to find somebody. And look, we've had three events in a row where something insane has happened. You know, you had Nick Lentz and Charles Oliveira on this very card. Oliveira got sick, couldn't compete, so Nick Lentz won by proxy the week before.
Why didn't we do the graphic thing like we did when Stefan Struve had to pull out of the fight that one time?
Right.
Where we did the we just let Nick go in there and then just raise his hand
right.
by forfeit or something?
By forfeit, yes. And then
that'd been fun.
Then you had Henan Barrow, and you've got these stuff going on. So it's not out of the realm of possibility for Jacare to be in a title fight before the end of the year, and interesting that that's exactly what they're doing. They're going to take a couple weeks off, refresh, do whatever a jiu-jitsu alligator does, and get back to camp and prepare to face Chris Weidman when Belfort falls through.
That's a smart approach. These are guys that apparently looked at the scene, and they know what it looks like.
But who's, I mean, Rockhold's locked up with Lyoto, even though that hasn't been inked officially, but if he and Lyoto are fighting, those are the only three guys on that list that I think you would go, okay, I could see that guy.
I said it was smart.
But, I mean, if you're listening and going, well, why doesn't he get a rematch with Luke Rockhold? Well, he doesn't do that because Rockhold's got a dance partner already. So.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So would you look more forward to Jacare, considering he's fought recently? He's fought, where was this card? Was it California? You said Foxwoods?
Foxwoods.
Oh, no, that's Connecticut, I'm sorry.
Yes.
So he's been licensed here. He's a guy that looked impressive. I nobody wants to take anything away from Vitor Belfort, but you know those slights against him are true. The guy's not fought in the U.S. clean of TRT in the better part of 9 years, something along those lines.
Right.
So what is the better fight right now? I still want to see the Vitor fight. I think that cleans a lot up in the division, and you don't have to worry about Vitor jumping on Twitter and saying Jesus wants him to be the champion after another fight. If you take care of this now and clean it up, he does that. He does that, Eric. I don't look at me like that.
I know he does that.
He does that. I mean, I know he beat Dan Henderson. He already beat Luke Rockhold. So this is a guy that deserves to be where he is. I mean, he gave John Jones all he could handle there for a little bit. So I want to see the Vitor fight, but I definitely want to see the Jacare fight, too. I want to see those two fights. And that's not taking anything away from Vitor thinking that Chris Weidman's going to win. I just think Chris Weidman's going to win.
I certainly think I would agree with you. I think Chris Weidman's going to win. I would like to see both of those fights. Depending on which Eric you talk to, there is the Eric that sees the business side. You're going to sell more pay-per-views, Belfort and Weidman. That's an obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
Fight-wise, I think Jacare's got a better shot.
Well, I think you sell more of both of them if you have the Belfort fight first. Weidman's still got this thing. It's weird, too. The guy's beat Anderson Silva twice.
Yep.
Beat Lyoto Machida.
12-0.
Who before he took a loss, nobody thought was ever going to lose.
Right.
Because he had karate.
Karate.
Joe Rogan couldn't get enough of that.
Karate.
So he's beat two guys, one of them twice, who was the best fighter in the world. And shut up if you didn't have him rated that high, because everybody did at that point. You can't go back and go, well, you know, really, I think if you really want to look at all the things and the numbers and GSP really ground those things out. Shut up. So he still, don't you get the feeling Weidman doesn't get the respect he probably deserves?
He doesn't. But
so if he beats Belfort, he's going to land himself in that, okay, I want to watch Chris Weidman fight slot.
And if he finishes Belfort, because
remember,
Belfort is at 84% finish. If he's in there, chances are he's finishing you, where Weidman's around 60, 67.
Mm-hmm.
Weidman lands more significant strikes per minute than Vitor, but Vitor's more accurate. And defense-wise, Weidman's got a little bit of a nod to Belfort, who, you know.
I just think Chris is a lot younger. The weird thing is, and I know Vitor's come all the way down from heavyweight, Chris is bigger. It feels like.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see. We don't know. We don't know until Vitor Belfort fights here.
And it's only 2 inches.
What he's going to look like. Yeah, but and when Vitor walks in there, cut. Holy. Yeah. My goodness. What happened to Vitor Belfort? But you get the feeling Chris Weidman is a guy who at 185 uses every single bit of it. And it's not muscle to look like muscle.
No, nope.
It's he's got it where he needs it for the strength, for the leverage, for every part of the game that he needs it. He just feels like a bigger dude.
Yeah, think John Jones, right?
Exactly.
John Jones isn't built like a power lifter, but he uses every muscle to go do something.
Yeah, and you just feel that with Chris Weidman. It's going to be interesting to see those guys literally stand next to each other. That's one of the most interesting weigh-ins I think I'm going to be looking forward to, because I want to see what these guys look like next to each other. I want to see what Vitor looks like, because, I mean, the guy's gone up and down. The guy's been on TRT now for 6 years?
Something like that, yeah.
He's been on TRT for a long time. So, I mean, even though, even when he fought back in Philly.
He's really been on TRT longer than we've done the show? Is that a real thing?
I think so. I mean, because he's been on TRT, well, maybe not 6 years. Maybe it's been 4 years. But the last time he fought in the U.S., he was on TRT, which was the Akiyama fight.
Yep.
So before that, he lost to Silva. He was on TRT there. I think he was on TRT against Rich Franklin, right? Or did he go after that because he took – no, he beat Franklin.
Oh, he beat Franklin, yeah.
So I think on the Franklin fight, so that'd be 5 years if he was on TRT there. I'd have to look back. If you want to correct us on Twitter, at Wow Show.
Yeah, feel free to do that.
Yeah, let us know what the hell we're talking about here. We always enjoy that. This is one of the most interesting Vitor fights I think I'm looking forward to, which is kind of strange to see some of the fights he's taken. Because that Dan Henderson fight, everybody was wondering what was going to happen there.
Yes.
And that wasn't even a fight. So it wasn't. It wasn't. So now I look at this and go, wow, if I was really interested in that, damn, I'm interested in this Weidman fight to see what he really can do when he's off the stuff and everything goes down in the cage.
Co-main event of that card was Ben Rothwell taking on Alistair Overeem.
Oh, man.
Everybody thought that this was Alistair's fight to win, and Ben was just an inconvenience. Everybody except for Ben and his camp. Wow. And so what happens in that fight is that Alistair starts throwing things at Ben's head, and Ben goes, that doesn't really hurt as much as I thought it would. Ken and I talked all week long about, I still feel that last knee before the knockout started to bother Ben. Not that he was going to stop fighting, but that was the success was happening to the body, not at all to the head.
Well, and I don't want to take any toughness away from Ben Rothwell, because what we've heard a lot of this past week is that, oh, Alistair can't show up in the big fights. All he had to do was win here, and he probably had a title fight. Because Alistair's that guy with a name. If he wins a decent enough fight, okay, we'll put you in there against Kane. We'll put you in there against a championship contender. And every time he's had that opportunity, he's not been able to show up.
So been brutally knocked out.
A lot of guys want to say, hey, look, he just doesn't have it. He just can't do it in the big fight. I don't want to put it on that level because I think, A, you take away from the toughness of Ben Rothwell. And B, he was able to break Ben's arm with a kick. So he threw a lot at Ben. The one thing I think was kind of light and surprising was the fact that when he landed punches on Ben, Ben didn't seem to care.
No.
Now, part of that goes back to the body and your discussion about the knees, and maybe he'll give up the head if he can block the body, and he doesn't have to have those kicks. But even when he was getting hit square from Alistair, I was really surprised that it didn't seem to be doing a lot to Ben. Even in the post-fight when he had the cast on his arm, his face didn't look that bad, and we saw some pretty clean shots from Alistair Overeem.
And so, to bearing the lead a little bit, obviously Ben breaks his arm, and Alistair, this is a time where I think form matters in MMA at all times, and Alistair got a little sloppy and paid for it with a loss. And what happened, according to Alistair and his camp, is he kicks Ben's arm. He physically hears it snap and drops that hand from his head because he
doesn't think Ben's going to use the right
no
anymore.
No way you're going to throw that at my head. And then sure enough, Ben goes, well, it's not that, bro.
He finished it. That's the thing that amazed me. I think watching the fight, we got a little bit in there. We go, okay, this is going to be one of those fights where Alistair is going to get, you know, the baby deer legs as a tribute to Sean Desai, who's not here today. And he did. He got the baby deer legs. But to finish Alistair, you got to go down there and you got to start doing something to him.
Yep.
And Ben went down there with the broken arm and beat him with it. Like, I'll break your arm. All right, but I'll beat you with it if that's what you want to do. And that's what he did in that fight. So it's very interesting. In that situation, too, Kevin Lee, who obviously trains under Sean Desai, tweeted out during that fight, Alistair's got a 205 chin. And I don't know if anybody succinctly put it better than that. The dude can go in there and he can rough heavyweights up. He can break Ben Rothwell's arm. He can take a Brock Lesnar with diverticulitis and just knock him into next week with a well-placed knee. He's a guy, though, that when he gets punched, doesn't take him like some of the other heavyweights do, which is fine. That's not a skill set you have to have, but you can't put your arm down in a fight if that's not your skill set.
Right. You got to protect your head at all times. Matt Mitrione, obviously we talked last week. He had that fight with Stefan Struve. Stefan Struve could not compete.
He was keeping it hood.
He was, yes, that's what he was doing. So he defeated Derek Lewis. First round KO. An impressive performance from Matt Mitrione, even if you're not familiar with Derek Lewis. Very impressive. Matt Mitrione, as much of the UFC, and we'll talk about this in the next segment. A big shout out to Thiago Silva for being back in the UFC after being acquitted of all charges.
Awkward. That was awkward at best.
It's really awkward at best. And like I said, we'll talk about it in the next segment. But that was how he finished that fight. And then we kicked off the main card with a guy who has made more money than Anderson Silva in post-fight bonuses. Joe Lozon, as he defeats Michael Chiesa with a brutal, brutal cut.
Michael Chiesa is the exception to the rule in regards to me not caring at all about Ultimate Fighters in the past 5 years. I don't care. They're on. They start to show that montage where they're wearing the generic gear with UFC on the butt instead of
the green and black shirts.
Whatever monochrome type of gear. I'm like, okay, good. I can go take a dump or make a sandwich.
At the same time.
No, well, it depends on the, you know. The timing. Michael Chiesa, obviously, he had a huge story, one that transcended the show for those who, because there's a lot of people like me. They follow MMA. They're not going to really mess with The Ultimate Fighter a whole lot.
Right.
I mean, his story transcended the show. He lost his father during the show. Obviously, that's a huge deal. The guy went back to win the show. So Michael Chiesa is one of those dudes where he goes and he gives it all. And you've seen guys probably stop for less of a cut. Not much less, though, people. Let's calm down on Twitter. I've seen fights stop for less. Yeah, maybe a couple, but not a whole lot less, because that was a giant cut on his head.
Yes.
And he was game to go. I would have loved to have seen him go, but I certainly am not going to fault the doctor and get on Twitter and start screaming about that cut. I'd love a rematch, though.
You and Michael Chiesa are the only two, because that's all that happened on Twitter all week long until yesterday. Joe Lozon and Michael Chiesa going back and forth. Michael Chiesa did an interview where he said he would give the $50,000 fight bonus back. And Joe took offense to that and tweeted at him and said, essentially, just give me the $50,000 and I'll come over and beat you up again.
Well, then I'm not the only one that wants it. Joe wants it?
Yeah.
Joe Lozon?
He does not want it. No.
You don't think he's going to get a rematch?
No. He said he actively, all week long, has said he hates rematches. And I don't disagree. Especially, I mean, that's the game, right?
That is the game. But they were both great. It was a great two rounds.
Yep. You got the great two rounds.
Okay, well, that's fine. I'm not going to boo-hoo about it. I just would like to see it.
Well, and Michael Chiesa did all week. They actually did make amends, and I believe Joe Lozon's kryptonite is Five Guys. I believe that's his kryptonite. So Michael Chiesa said he would buy him burgers.
So
they made up over Five Guys.
Oh, there you go. Well, so no rematch, huh?
No
rematch. So who's Michael Chiesa get then?
I don't know.
Because Joe Lozon's... The reason I talk about that as a rematch is because I want to see if Michael Chiesa is going to do that breakthrough. Joe Lozon's that perfect guy to see with. I mean, he's a great fighter, fight of the night guy. You know, he's still kind of on the fringe of that title shot, but he's not quite there. So, Michael Chiesa, you got me. I'm going to watch your next fight. I'm just kind of curious to see who it's again. I obviously wouldn't mind Joe Lozon, guy who's willing to get in there and fight like that, but it doesn't matter at this point. He is now the exception to the Ultimate Fighter rule, so please don't go in there and screw it up.
So, who would you put him with?
Oh, I don't know. I don't get as deep on that division as you and your friends in the UFC ranking center. Well, what are you looking at right now?
I don't even know. I was just wondering if you had an idea, because you're now a super fan of Michael
Chiesa. I wanted that rematch and just crapped all over that.
Well,
so
but
I mean,
look, Joe Lozon has danced in and out of being ranked at 155, given the fact that he's a great fighter.
Which is amazing, considering that
That tells you everything you need to know about that division,
he's made
right?
$8 million right. in Fight of the Night bonuses.
Right. Tells you everything you need to know about that division is that he's a guy that you can depend on having a great fight with, but a guy who's been in and out of rankings. So he doesn't need to fight Michael Chiesa again. I think he needs to go up the ladder and start, if that's what he wants to do, start.
So what do you want to see him against, like Edson Barboza, Miles Jury, Jim Miller?
Ooh, Miles Jury would be a great fight.
See, here's the other thing, just because I want to see where Michael Chiesa is, I wouldn't mind seeing him against some of those dudes, too.
And I'm not,
even
I'm,
off a loss.
I'm not saying that, but that's, you've said this a couple times on the show. There are times in the UFC that you can lose and look good and still get as much as you would if you say for the money part, as you would with a win. And I think that was certainly what happened. Cause there's a lot of people who are like, yeah, let's get Michael Chiesa another fight here. But I think the Miles Jury fight would be great for Joe Lozon. As far as Chiesa, I don't know.
I'm not worried. I just thought it'd be a nice rematch. I thought that there was enough back and forth there. And it depends, too. You say it's part of the game. I'm not the biggest fan in the world of cuts. I'm not going to take it away from a guy when he lands a shot and cuts a guy. That's not what I'm saying. But I can also say I don't necessarily like when a fight ends like that. I don't feel like he did anything to really end the fight. He landed the blow that stopped the fight. And I don't take that away from a fighter. He didn't end the fight. A guy ends a fight when he subs a guy or knocks a guy out.
But I think, aren't you then turning this into a, you know, what it always gets a knock for with it being a street fight?
No, because
like he doesn't have to kill you to win.
No, but he didn't stop him either. It's the same difference. You don't necessarily like a 5-round decision, but you can't take it away from a guy when he wins that decision. If he lays on a guy, we go back to the GSP example.
Right.
I can in that same camp, I can respect what that guy did and his game to do it. The same way I respect that the fact that Joe Lauzon landed the blow that cut him open. That doesn't make me think that he didn't stop the fight. That doesn't make me think that this isn't something I would want to see again, if that makes sense.
Sure.
I'd rather see them both go and somebody get stopped because of a blow or a submission. Not necessarily, well, you know what, that corner of that glove happened to catch you. Yeah, look, you're done. Okay. It's a cut. He did it. He made the man bleed, and he finished the fight. I'm not taking that away. But I can certainly say, hey, I don't think he stopped the fight. The fight got stopped because of the cut, and you did the cut. I'm not taking the win away from you, but that doesn't mean I don't want to see things go differently.
Sure. I guess given what weight division we're in, being lightweight, I don't know that there's really – I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth for a second. I don't know that there's really room for rematches at that level because you have so little time to mess around with other people who aren't contenders, right?
Tell me you can't sell that again. You can certainly sell that again.
You certainly can, but
that slides up to co-main if it's a rematch, and you've got to have interest in these divisions before anybody cares right now because we're looking at the light heavy.
I guess, stop for a second. Like, how much money are you really going to get about a Joe Lauzon Michael Chiesa rematch? For real.
You can put that in a co-main on a UFC fight night now. That's how they have to look at these cards. You know what? You know what's not a co-main, and I don't care where they're ranked and that they're both higher, is St. Prue Manoa. That's not right now. That's not a co-main event, and both of those guys are technically higher ranked, aren't they? They're both in the top 15, and those other dudes are – I'm sorry. I'm looking at light heavy. I just grabbed two guys. It gets worse when I get the lightweight. All right, let's talk about our co-main event of Eddie Alvarez.
Yep.
he'll be higher soon.
And Donald Cerrone.
Whatever.
People are going to put money down for
that
one.
Michael Johnson, Miles Jury. That's not
Nobody
a
cares.
No, exactly. But two guys below them, right now, people care. They would watch Chiesa and Joe Lauzon go again before they would watch Miles Jury, Michael Johnson. I picked 9 and 10 for those playing along at home in the lightweight division.
Yes.
So those guys are higher ranked.
Yes, but again, to go back to that, you would already have a rematch because Michael Johnson and Miles Jury already fought.
And I still don't care. I didn't know they fought.
But this is to my point of why you can't mess around with rematches, right? Miles Jury is undefeated, and nobody cares about him at lightweight. Nobody cares. So you have to scramble up that ladder, and he needs to fight Henson or Cerrone or somebody that matters because he's undefeated and only ranked 9th.
You need interest in the division before it matters. So let's say you do Joe and you do Chiesa again, and Joe wins again. Well, Joe can fight.
Who? What is he going to fight? Masvidal? Is that what? His reward.
But then you get
to fight 13.
Then when Miles beats Joe, Joe's that guy that beat up that other guy. He had that cut in the first one. It was the Ultimate Fighter guy. Tell me that's not selling more. See, I just think I'm 3 steps ahead on the chessboard. I just think that's what's going on
clearly
right now.
Yes.
Whenever I remember to look at the lightweight list instead of light heavyweight, I'm clearly
whatever you think that John Jones should
leaves
fight
ahead.
Nurmagomedov for the title.
I will buy John Jones Nurmagomedov all day. You shut up.
When we come back, we got more stuff to talk
about. I would
about.
Take Nurmagomedov in that fight.
I probably would, too.
Okay.
The guy did fight a bear when he was 9.
Yep.
Okay, we'll be back. We got more stuff to talk about. It's Way of the Warrior.
Way of the Warrior. Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans. Always online on Twitter or Facebook. Just search Wow Show. Are you okay over there? Sorry.
Turn my mic on. I'll be fine.
I thought you were going to fall out of the chair there.
Yeah, well, this is the studio.
So there is a lot of stuff going on in the world of mixed martial arts. And oddly enough, this week, the NFL and the UFC intersect. Last week, right before we finished uploading the show, essentially, they announced that Thiago Silva was going to be back in the UFC.
Well, did they do it during the event? Because I caught it from you the event when I was on Twitter and Facebook.
It essentially happened moments before.
Okay.
Like, they had made the announcement. Thiago Silva's camp went on Instagram, and that's why, Ken, you thought I was just kind of running on a hyperbole. But
No, I didn't think that. I was a little shocked, but I did believe that UFC might have reached out and said, okay, you didn't get prosecuted. There's no actual legal repercussions so far in this instance. So we will give you another opportunity in UFC. Basically, okay, here you go. We're going to give you another fight. I certainly didn't think the UFC would go, Thiago Silva's back, everybody. Awesome, isn't it? We got swatted.
Yes.
By Thiago Silva showing up to fight.
All right, so...
Which is sort of how it happened that night.
Sort of how it happened. Then fast forward a week, and the horrific video of Ray Rice beating up his fiance, now wife, in an elevator comes out. And then yesterday, it comes out that Roger Goodell, or somebody in his organization at that point in the NFL, has had that video since April.
And then the NFL saying, no, they haven't. But basically, that back and forth has dominated the discussion this week.
Yes. And so last night, Fox Sports Live, they had a chance to talk to Dana White about that. And I'm going to play this in its entirety. We don't normally do this, but I want you to listen to him talk about Ray Rice. Mm-hmm. And then moments later, talk about Thiago Silva. Then we shall discuss.
Handled the situation.
It's a tough one. First of all, the video is horrifying. Absolutely horrifying. You know, you're talking about a guy who's been in the fight business since he was 19 years old. It is the most disturbing thing you will ever see. I think the thing that is just as bad as a punch is he shows no remorse after he does it. You know, if you did something in anger and you go, oh my God, what did I do? There's none of that with this guy. And I don't know all the ins and outs of what Roger Goodell did or knew or how it was handled, but It's bad. I can tell you this. I wouldn't want to be Roger Goodell.
Floyd Mayweather fighting this weekend. He served time for domestic battery in his past. He had this to say about Rice. I think there's a lot worse things that go on in other people's households. Also, it's just not caught on video. That's safe to say. I wish Ray Rice nothing but the best. He did later apologize for those comments. Your thoughts, though, on them?
What do you say to that? I mean, what do you even say to that? It's asinine. I don't even know what to say to that.
You re-signed Thiago Silva, who was accused of threatening his estranged wife with a gun back in February. Those charges, they've been dropped. How do you justify allowing him back in the UFC now?
Yeah, you know, if you believe in the process, if you believe, you know, in the legal process, they came, they arrested him, and he wasn't brought up on any charges. You know, you're in a situation where... Plus, I know a lot more of the story and what went on. And if you take his side of the story, her side of the story, the truth lies somewhere in the middle. But he went through the process, and he wasn't charged with anything. The guy should have the ability to make a living. And obviously, you know, if some tape surfaced, like you know, in this one, but the police have already investigated this entire thing, and they let the guy go.
Now, the fact is, when you released Silva originally, you said, quote, this guy will never fight in the UFC again. Why did your stance change?
Well, when I said that, there was a SWAT team outside of his house, and he had allegedly done these things. It wasn't looking good for him. It wasn't looking good for him at the time. He went through the process, and he came away with no charges.
Now, I know that there are charges that may or may not be pending, but as of this very moment, Ken, when you and I are talking, how many charges have been placed against Ray Rice?
I believe there was some misdemeanor charge, but essentially he was let off of the situation, and that's the NFL's background on this whole thing, is we let the legal process play. That's why we did the two games. We didn't know there was a video. So right now, you don't have apples to apples here, but you made a great point. You have his wife, who essentially ran back to Brazil. That's why there are no charges right now.
Yes, as the story has unfolded, there are no charges because she, in a very similar apples-to-apples case, at least at the beginning, she has not placed any charges or pressed any charges and has fled the country. They cannot contact her.
Mm-hmm.
And you can suppose anything you would like. I'm not going to do that here. All I'm going to say is that for as outraged as we are at the Ray Rice situation, the video pending, obviously, he is going to face other charges because they don't need his wife to press charges at this point because they have a video?
Well, here's the interesting thing. You and I both talked about that earlier this week, and if she doesn't cooperate, it's still very tough, even with this video. And I'm just playing devil's advocate here. It's one of those situations where if she's not helping the prosecution's case, you don't know what happened in that elevator. And you see it, but you see also the spitting that he does, and then there's a little back and forth where she may or may not have hit him. He doesn't have to say a word. She doesn't have to say a word. I would be surprised if he's indicted on anything else. I mean, you had some aggravated assault charges with what the police already had. Essentially, he's moved through that situation. He rejected a plea deal, and he had his lawyer kind of come up with another setup there. So I don't think there's going to be charges there. There could still be charges for Thiago Silva. Probably not, though. His wife ran off. I mean, Dana White's reasoning here, which he wants us to trust, is that the truth is somewhere in the middle. And I do believe Dana White probably knows more. And Dana's always been a guy that's on the fighter's side. He's hard in negotiations, but he wants to give you an opportunity. And he is looking at Thiago Silva as if he's taking away his opportunity to make a living. I don't know if that's a good enough reason, though, to bring Thiago Silva back to UFC. I really don't. I'm surprised. I told you on the show back when this happened, said, we don't have to worry about this because UFC is never going to bring this guy back if any of this is even close to true. Again, I don't know what is and isn't close to true. I don't want to suppose that this situation did or didn't happen because his wife ran off to Brazil. But looking at it, I'm a little surprised. Thiago Silva is not a world beater. Thiago Silva is not a difference maker as far as pay-per-view buys go. He's going to be a bit of an albatross. UFC can't afford bad press. They're coming off the situation with Dana and the judges, and
yes,
they come off a bad press all the time, and it seems like they welcome this back a lot more quickly than I ever would have suspected, and I can't put my finger on why.
And so that's kind of what I'm saying, is when you listen to this interview in its entirety, it's as asinine as the Floyd Mayweather comments, right? Because if you're a leader who has a moral compass that it only points in whatever direction it points in, mm-hmm, you would have a clear line of where you stand on domestic violence. And I didn't play the end of it where he says that they've been out in front and they've been more aggressive against domestic violence abuse, so forth and so on, which I don't know that I necessarily can back that. But when you listen to the two stories back to back, it doesn't sound like the same guy is talking. The one guy wants Roger Goodell to quit and wants Ray Rice to never play in the NFL again and, mm-hmm, thinks it's despicable and horrific. The other guy is really excited that they went through the process and whatever did or did not happen that night didn't really happen because there were no charges. So, hurrah, he's back.
Which is interesting, and I just want to clarify, too. Rice was indicted on aggravated assault charges. The police knew what happened in the elevator from the video. They had it.
Right.
Once his wife, once his then-fiancé married him, essentially everything stopped because it's very hard to prosecute at that point. Even with the video, which seems to be counterintuitive. So you want to say this process here with Thiago Silva is fine, this other process isn't. I mean, by Dana White's reasoning, the NFL's way out of line with this suspension. The NFL and the Ravens should. Am I wrong in the reasoning that we just
heard?
That's
what I'm saying. It's like if you say you go through the process, therefore it should be okay, and there is no and for because, mm-hmm, right? If we're going to get all
right,
judgy and legalese, and for because there's no video of it. And this is the part of both of these stories that has driven me crazy over the course of a week, is that we're not going, and I don't want to turn this into a big debate about the NFL, but we're not going to stop watching the NFL, even though we probably should.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to make a stand against Roger Goodell and what that organization is doing, even though we should. And we're not going to stop buying pay-per-views, and we're not going to do anything to the UFC, even though we probably should call them on the carpet for a decision like this, because to your credit, he's not a world beater. He's an unnecessary entity in the UFC. And above and beyond that, even if you're going to bring him back and make a bad decision, which I think it is a bad decision, you do not need to have fireworks, a parade, and ticker tape.
Yeah, I that's what I was most surprised about. If you really are going to do this, which again, I was surprised. I mean, if you want to go back and look at Eric's Facebook timeline, you can see I'm a bit incredulous, and I was really reticent to, I'm like, what is it? Who's announcing? Is this right camp saying, hey, he's ready for UFC, yes, everybody? Because I was really surprised. I'm looking at the upside in a very pragmatic way, not even a necessarily moral way. which I do believe they would have moral high ground to not ever bring him back if they wanted to. But even in a pragmatic way, what is the benefit here? What are you and I going to do when we see Thiago Silva on a card? At best, we're going to go, oh, God, they're going to bring him back here. We're not going to go, oh, I need to see that guy fight now.
Nope.
Oh, hey, the guy who might have put a gun in his wife's mouth? Let's see what he does.
There was no video.
Let's see what he does to the number three contender in the world. That's not what's going on here. The investigation dead-ended because somebody ran to Brazil. That's all we know as a fact. That doesn't seem to be something the UFC should be in business with at this point. And I think Dana is loyal to a fault with some of these guys, and this is proving it right here.
Well, and if you look at the other side of the spectrum, right, George St. Pierre, right? That's a guy that you get behind and you support, and there's stories out this week that he might be fighting mid to late next year because he's back training and he's got that bug again, and we kind of knew that was going to be a thing. But there's a guy that you can put on a Wheaties box, right? Mm-hmm. There's a guy that can be sponsored by Coca-Cola. There's a guy that can be sponsored by Gatorade. Even John Jones, he made a mistake, a dumb mistake. He has apologized for the mistake. There's another guy that you can put out there as the face of your organization. Ronda Rousey. Another person that you can put out as the face of your organization. None of those people, as far as we know, have done anything in this vein at all.
No.
Right?
I mean, John Jones, you had the DUI
thing.
Right,
which he made a mistake, and that's going to happen.
Well,
but guys that
fight like John Jones can make a lot more mistakes. That's what I really don't understand in a pragmatic sense. But look at this. It's that PIA factor we talk about. How big a pain in the ass can you be? Well, it depends how much money and how much talent and what you're bringing to the table. Thiago Silva, what he's bringing to the table now is that guy that almost killed a whole gym full of people or whatever perception people want to have. I'm not, you know, these are all alleged allegations. But yeah, there are a ton of them.
We can't live in a world, UFC or otherwise, any world, you can't function in a world that we go, well, it didn't happen because it wasn't caught on video.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
That's an insane way to live your life.
But that's all he's bringing to the table now. True or not, that's what he's bringing to the table. As a business person,
right, but
you would say no. You're not, that's what you're bringing to the table.
What I'm saying about Dana White, though, is your justification for doing all this is because there's no tangible evidence. Not that he didn't do it. We went through the process, and since there wasn't an IMAX movie of him putting a gun in his wife's mouth and trying to kill an entire JoJo full of people and the SWAT team showing up at his house, well, therefore, it didn't really happen. Hooray for Thiago Silva. And I say that a little tongue-in-cheek because you know who hasn't had the SWAT team at their house? Me. I haven't had the SWAT team at my house. That doesn't happen to normal people doing normal stuff.
No, not usually. Not usually.
Police officers, sure, may make a mistake. An entire SWAT team doesn't show up and kick your door down by mistake.
Well, some people get swatted. You don't want to throw that out there on the internet.
Fair enough.
As if you're trying to challenge people
right
at this point. But, yeah, I mean, I think the Gracies even think this dojo storming is going too far.
This is much farther than the Gracie challenge ever intended to be. But he is back in the UFC. Make of that whatever you see fit.
I'm still wondering.
Well, if I was working in public relations at the UFC and I watched that interview, I'd be like, we should maybe rethink this whole thing.
Well, here's the interesting thing.
Where's the next UFC Macau going to be?
Where did you say he was going to fight? He's going to fight, or not where, but he's going to fight OSP, you thought?
Was the next
fight for him? Here's the only thing I was looking at, and if you want, again, I'm taking morality out of this. Not that you should, but I'm going to look at this pragmatically as, you know, somebody in a fight business would. Do you feed him to somebody? Is that what you're doing?
But what would be the point of that?
Then you feed the guy who tried to, you know, blow up a dojo to one of your up-and-comers. There you go. Oh, look, he got beat up. He's out of the UFC. We don't need him.
But, again, what?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's why, but maybe that's why. That's all I can say. Because
right.
I wouldn't hire him back.
I wouldn't either.
I expect him in World Series of Fighting or something like that if he got through this.
But again, if we go back to the Ray Rice thing, right? Ray Rice was getting this pass since April because he's Ray Rice. If he's, you know, because he's, let's pick an arbitrary name. Because he's George St. Pierre, he's getting a pass, right? If he's Miles Jury, he gets fired.
Right. No, I'm not disagreeing
right
with you.
If he's an average at best running back, he's cut from the team.
Mm-hmm.
But we have this thing where we've got to embrace these superstars and let them do whatever. He's not a superstar.
I don't think we embrace the superstar, but we embrace the fact you'll embrace the hell out of the process if it's a superstar. You're gonna wait and see what plays out, and you're gonna go, we're gonna let the courts decide, and then we'll do our investigation. Courts haven't decided anything, unfortunately, in this situation. It's our decision to move forward with the fighter because this. You do that with a guy who can matter in your division and matter in your company. I don't think Thiago Silva's that guy anymore. And God forbid, what if he has a resurgence? What if you got to put that guy in a title fight all of a sudden?
Well, and if I'm going to play you for a second, and this has gone on a little bit longer than I thought it would, but I think that's good. If I was going to play you and be pragmatic for a second, do you need to do it right now?
No.
Could you wait a couple months?
No,
maybe
is where Dana's loyal to a fault. I bet you Thiago Silva's in some trouble financially after all of this, and that's a result. That's a consequence.
Sure, absolutely.
And I think Dana White is trying to help a guy out, and that's where this loyalty to a fault is coming into play.
I just think if you needed to do this and you thought this was interesting, I think you easily can just go, hey, man, we don't really need to report these things. We're going to float you some money because we're going to sign you next year. You go take care of what you need to take care of, and if you don't, you know, fly a helicopter to Brazil and do whatever, you can fight in January. I don't know that you need to be, like I said, the ticker tape parade is really kind of what made me go, for real, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, too, because I know that, I don't know. I know that this is probably Dana being loyal, and it's to a fault, and it's a situation where if he could stand back and look at it and really looked at it and talked about it, you could kind of hear it in his voice. He probably knows he shouldn't do it. But for the same reasons that we love Dana and others, it's situations, we're not liking his decision here.
So there you have it. You can weigh in on Twitter or Facebook searching WOW Show. When we come back, still a couple things in news to cover, including a big fight that's going to be on that card with Weidman and Belfort. We'll talk about it next. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.
1, 2, 3, my baby don't mess around because she loves me.
Follow our Twitter account at WOW Show.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts.
How long have we been here?
We've been here, right.
Feels like days.
It does feel like days. So, big news coming out, of course. Tomorrow night, there is the Bigfoot Andre Arlovsky 2 bout.
Okay.
That will be on Fight Pass if you're looking for something to watch this weekend.
What time is that on? Are they hiding the time again? Because I always like when they hide the time.
8 p.m. Eastern if you want to watch the main card.
That's the main card is 8 o'clock.
Yes.
Awesome. I'm into that. I want to see Bigfoot Arlovsky.
There you go.
I don't know any of these other fighters, hardly.
Well,
Gleison Tibau, yeah. Efrain Escudero, I know them. That's about it for me. What about you looking at this card?
Alcantara is on there as well. I mean, there's a couple other people on there. Godfrey Pepe, I believe, is on there as well.
You made that up. That's a made-up name.
You're looking at it
Who
right
is
now.
That?
He's on there. He's kicking off the prelims.
What's the name?
Godfrey Pepe, I believe, is his name.
Oh, Godofredo Castro?
No.
No. That's okay. The only thing that starts with a G.
There you go.
I'm still looking.
Bigfoot
I'll do
Silva,
that while you do this.
Andre Arlovsky 2. The last time around, Bigfoot was able to win a decision. I think this time he will be able to end Andre Arlovsky. I just don't know.
Oh, is this a rematch?
This is a rematch.
Oh, when did they fight? Was that
boy.
Strike Force?
It was either Strike Force or Affliction. I'm pretty sure it was Strike Force, though. It was Strike Force, and it was a decision.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, how could we forget Heavy Artillery?
There you go. It was part of the Grand Prix.
Heavy Artillery, May 15th, 2010. Was it really?
Yeah, wasn't that the kickoff to the Grand Prix? Was the Heavy Artillery where they had all
I don't know.
So that is a rematch. Again, I don't know that Andre has much left in him. His reintroduction into the UFC really didn't look all that great.
Okay, but he got a win. I mean, when he lost last time.
It was terrible, though.
He got a win, and well, to think about last time, he was in the middle of four straight losses when he lost to Silva. So at least he's not that. I mean, last time he lost, it was Anthony Johnson, and that was three or four fights ago.
Is that what we're doing? At least it's not that.
Shut up! You want to watch the pit bull? You want to watch? You want to see the mouth guard? You want to see him go in there, and you're going to watch this?
Yeah, well, right.
This is a prime example of what I say need to be highlight main events. This is a highlight main event. You're going to at least check that out. And then the rest of the card, you might see some of it. What else do you want from Fight Pass, Eric?
I don't know.
What are your expectations?
I think
here?
That's fine. I'm just saying, like, I don't know that Andre. I get what they're doing. I totally agree with you. It's a spot.
Big win over Brendan Schaub.
Please. please go. Please, I want you to spend the rest of the weekend trying to watch that entire fight.
Oh, I think I miss UFC 174. I'm not 100% sure.
All right. The huge news, though, is that Firas Sahabi, GSP's trainer, says his ACL surgery is better than the last time around, and he should be cleared for combat training in October. And this is Frost speaking. This is not GSP speaking, saying he's got a ton of competitive juice left. I could see a couple fights. The reaction from the UFC was interesting. Dana White, when he heard that, said, hey, it's hard to not give him a title fight on his return. GSP can, quote, do whatever he wants.
GSP title fight. Right back. Man, that...
Do you think he wants to do that?
I want to see. First off, I want to see GSP back in the UFC. I think we all knew that.
Yes.
This was, we alluded to it earlier in the show. This just seems to be more confirmation of the fact that, you know, he needed a real break where people weren't asking him what his next fight is, because mentally he's the kind of guy that goes in there and he's super focused and he's always, you know, thinking about that next fight. So even having to think about negotiating for the next fight or who could possibly be the next fight was just wearing him out mentally. It was just wearing him out. I don't know if a fight in that division against whoever the champ may be at that time is the best move coming back in. I want to see GSP back. I think that division has got a lot of great fights for him at this point. But you remember the layoff after the injury. He did not look great. Was that Carlos Condit?
Yes.
He did not look great in that fight. And that was a rough one for him to win. And each fight since then has been rougher and rougher and rougher. If you got a guy like Johnny Hendricks still sitting at the top and he's tuned up and he's ready to go, a guy a lot of people say beat GSP once already, you can't have GSP going on 2 years if that's
when
the licensing and all that. You can't have a guy who's been off 2 years going in there against a champion who's been fighting. I mean,
sure.
Johnny Hendricks has been regularly healthy, fighting regular matches and fights here. So...
And below that, you have...
But GSP will be in there, because the UFC needs that money.
Oh, sure.
They need those pay-per-view
buys.
He'll
be in there, and you're absolutely right, but it's no easy task. You got Robbie Lawler in there. He obviously won't fight Rory McDonald, but you've got Woodley. I mean, there's a lot of people in there. I don't know that they would put him against Woodley, because that seems like that would just ruin Woodley if he...
I don't think that ruins what that actually. It's interesting. You say that fight out loud. That doesn't ruin Woodley if he loses. Now, Tyron Woodley's obviously on a streak, and he's a guy they might want to fight for a championship. But Tyron Woodley's a guy that you could put in there against GSP and really kind of take a look at both of these dudes.
Yeah.
Where's GSP in this? Because GSP beats Tyron Woodley. You lost to GSP.
Yes.
I mean, other than Anderson Silva, there's no better loss to take in the past 5 years.
Fair enough.
At this point.
Yeah.
So Tyron Woodley, you think he gets hurt by a loss to GSP?
I don't know. I just think, you know, when he took that loss to Rory, it was a huge, I mean, the UFC was like, okay, well, he's not.
I don't think they do that anymore. I mean, you got Rory's number two, I think, right now in that division.
Yep.
So I think they know what they have with Tyron Woodley now, a little better than they did before. UFC, though, well, Dana's already saying title shot. That means that's where the negotiations are going. Now, Dana's changed his tune on occasion before.
Well, and you saw it with Anderson. Anderson's coming back to fight Nick Diaz. You know, it's whatever that guy's going to dictate. Anderson just wants to take interesting fights and obviously wants no part of Chris Weidman.
Oh, no, not at this point.
No.
And there's no reason to watch that again.
Why I'm bringing that up is saying maybe GSP doesn't want to fight Hendricks again.
How far out are we from Carlos Condit returning?
I don't know. It's got to be soon.
Speaking of Tyron Woodley, knocked his knee into next week.
It's got to be soon. I would imagine he'll be cleared middle of, you know, to fight middle of 15.
Now, that's a tough fight, though, for both those dudes, because
right.
whoever loses is knocked out of a shot for a while at that point. And if that's GSP's goal coming back. But also in that fight, you got two guys coming back from layoffs, one injury, one a mental break there he wanted to take. So... that's another fight I think I'd love to see again, is those two coming off a break against each other. They would solidify their position after a win over either of them,
sure.
And they're both worthy of that fight. So that could be something that we do other than a title shot. I just think at this point, GSP going in against a guy like Hendricks, that's what I'm going to look at this point, depending on when this timing works out.
It's going to be Robbie Lawler, but okay.
Whatever. Okay. Well, Robbie Lawler, yeah, give him the champ. He'll beat Robbie Lawler.
Clearly.
Yes.
Yeah, uh-huh. Have you been watching Robbie Lawler?
I love Robbie Lawler. He's not going to beat Johnny Hendricks.
For the love of
He's not going to beat Johnny Hendricks.
Really, dude.
We'll
circle back to this.
Why do you think that's going to happen?
A couple more things before we take off. JD,
you're not circling back.
I meant later, like when the fight comes up. We're not doing it right now. We're not going to do this right now. JD has his hand back to 100%, and he was really impressed by Ben Rothwell and thought that would be a good fight to return to. So I like that fight.
Sure.
You know, Rothwell kind of made a name for himself with that Overeem fight, and he and JDS would be a great fight. And one more where it gets interesting. Rockhold and Bisping, we mentioned that yesterday, I believe, on Twitter. That is going to be November 8th, so that means we are back to the insane matchup of Lyoto Machida and CB Dalloway on December 20th.
Let's wait. We'll come back around to that one. Not doing that one.
You're not going to pay for that pay-per-view?
What?
I'm totally kidding.
They need a $19.99 option for some of these fights at this point.
It is Way of the Warrior. We will cover all of the Fight Pass stuff this weekend. We'll catch you next week.
Way of the Warrior.